We are on the record.
Good morning. My name is Marisha Childs. My pronouns are she, her. I'm the hearings officer for this matter. We're here today, Friday, May 23rd, 2025. The time is 10:12 a.m. This is the time set for a TOA appeal hearing that was filed by appellant Gabriella Raz, cause number 1250094. This matter was scheduled as an in-storage TOA request hearing, and the hearing notice of hearing was sent to the parties on May 21st. It's Exhibit 5 in the record, and the notice states that the hearing is scheduled for Friday, May 23rd, 2025 at 10 a.m. It's 10:13 a.m. I was waiting to give the appellant time to show up if they were going to show up late for the hearing, and they have not yet shown. I'm on Zoom, and I'm alone on Zoom. I see that the email that was sent to the appellant was sent to the email address they used to create the matter, and the email was did not bounce back as if this was the wrong email address. It was also sent to the Portland Police Bureau at the email address the clerks normally use to notify the Portland Police of the hearing. Neither party is here for the hearing. If a party fails to show, nobody automatically wins or automatically loses. So there's no, I've won by default. The hearing moves forward in their absence. But seeing as neither party is here, the hearing will still move forward in the absence of both the appellant as well as the city. Both have received proper notice of this hearing. I'm gonna make a finding that both have received notice and are waiving their right to be present, and the hearing will move forward. There is no notes in the online case filing system, no messages from the appellant. I asked the clerk if there was any messages from the appellant that they were going to be late, that they weren't coming, anything, and there was nothing like that. So again, we'll move forward with the hearing. I am a hearings officer. I work in the hearings office. The hearings office is charged with independently reviewing decisions of other city bureaus to make sure those decisions comply with the code. And in this case, that means reviewing the decision to tow appellant's vehicle to make sure that decision complies with the code. My authority in these cases is limited. I'm limited to deciding whether a tow is valid, invalid, or otherwise unjustified. The code requires that I find a tow valid if two requirements are met. One, the procedural notice requirements have been met, and two, the person ordering the tow followed all relevant rules and procedures. This hearing is being audio recorded. I don't know if I said that at the beginning. I'm on Zoom, alone, and just myself and the clerk. There is no other party, and although I'm on Zoom and would be able to see faces and squares if there is another face and square to be seen, the video is not what is being recorded. It's just the audio of these proceedings. The audio of these proceedings will be available on the city's website within the next 2 to 3 days after the conclusion of this hearing. So let's see, what else was I was left at the validity. This was a tow by Portland Police, not by PBOT. So there is not a parking citation. So I do not need to make any remarks about how to respond to a parking citation or how to address the parking citation. When I use the same online case filing system that's available to the parties, there have been 8 exhibits that have been uploaded into this case. These 8 exhibits are not part of the record yet, but I would like to make them part of the record so that way I can rely on the evidence that is contained within these exhibits in making some decisions about this case. I am going to admit exhibits 1 through 8 at this time, since there's nobody that could potentially be objecting to the admission of any exhibits because there's nobody here. So I'm admitting exhibits 1 through 8. I'm going to read through any documents that have been uploaded by the parties as if they were providing oral testimony. I'm going to start with the exhibit 2. Oh, wait a second. This vehicle was towed April 14th, and today's date is May 23rd. Their tow request was filed late. The appellant did provide a reason for why their request was late, and it sounds like, let's see, the reason they state that the tow request is late is because on April 14th, I was involved in a car accident resulting in my car being towed. Later on that day, around 3 p.m., my brother had a court for an incident that had happened the previous Friday. He was released that same night. I received a call around 9 p.m. from my stepmother. She accused my brother and I for my father going into cardiac arrest. My father was on life support for about 2 weeks. 2 weeks before we were forced to make the decision to quote-unquote pull the plug. My father was pronounced dead April 30th. The whole situation has affected my family and I very much. The reason why I'm filing late is due to the fact that my dad had just died unexpectedly, end quote. And that sounds terrible. So I will find a good cause to grant the late request for a tow hearing. And now can address the merits of the tow. Let's see. Exhibit 3 is the tow hearing request, and it provides why they believe the tow is invalid. In response to question 6, state the reason you believe this tow is invalid or for any other reason unjustified. Appellant states, quote, I believe the tow is invalid because the day of the accident, an officer had given me an estimate of how much it would have been to tow my car to my home instead of the lot, end quote. Okay. And let's see, exhibit 4 is, that's all there is for the appellant as to the invalidity of the tow. The exhibit 4 is the police report. This was authored by, Officer Adam Rubin, badge number 63779. The report date and time is 4/14/2025, 5:13. It says 5:13. That would be a.m. 5 a.m. I'm not sure if that is accurate, but I'm just going to assume that it is accurate because that's what they wrote. I'm going to assume that is accurate. Yes, let's say that's right. Okay, this, I'm reading the narrative, it says subject crash/tow, quote, the following report is a summation of events from memory for the duration of all of the call I was wearing and was recording with my BWC body worn camera. For specific events and details, refer to BWC footage. On 4/14/25, I was dispatched to an accident injury, Southeast 31st Avenue at Southeast Holgate Boulevard. Dispatch notes read as follows. Car rolled over on its top. See related EMS and fire call report 25-41343. I arrived on scene and the driver of the car that had rolled over, Hyde Justin Lind, was already outside of his car. The female driver, Raz Gabrielle Sarai, was still inside her car. I confirm with both drivers that they were okay and relatively uninjured. Raz stated she was not, and Hyde said he had minimal back pain and was already being checked out by AMR while I was initially talking to him. Raz declined medical, and Hyde was checked out but also declined medical transport. After talking with both parties and examining the elements of the crash, it did not appear that DUII was a factor for either driver. Raz also admitted that she did not pay attention for a moment and drifted into the oncoming lane the moment that Hyde was rounding a corner, which caused the crash, which flipped Hyde's car. Raz was cited for careless driving, being uninsured, and also not being valid. Raz's car was towed by 21st Century Towing. Hyde's car was towed by Speeds Towing. I completed a traffic crash exchange form and gave both parties a copy of the completed form. Nothing more at this time, end quote. Okay, so that's all the evidence that I had, that I see in the record. It looks like the appellant's vehicle was towed after a car accident, and appellant was uninsured. I'm not really sure what the officer means. It says not, and also not being valid. I'm not sure if that means they didn't have a driver's license, but I do not know. But the car was towed after an accident. Appellant reports the basis for the invalidity of the tow is because of the cost, a difference between the cost of the tow to either her home or a lot, which is, I mean, that's okay. I don't really know what the proper response. That's not really a valid reason to argue that the tow is invalid. I find that the tow is valid. The tow was authorized after a crash, and the appellant was uninsured. I'm not really sure if the vehicle was drivable, but it was a crash. So it was, let me tell you the code provision. There was a, let's see, towing, and so I'm looking in chapter 1630, towing and disposition of vehicles, when a vehicle may be towed, and I'm not really sure how this vehicle, I don't know if it was, I'm not sure where the vehicle was. If it posed, I mean, it's possible it posed an immediate danger to the public safety. I don't know. A police officer has probable cause to believe that, okay, so I'm looking at 1632.20, towing without prior notice. A police, which states any authorized officer may, without prior notice, order a vehicle towed when, a police officer has probable cause to believe that the vehicle's operator has committed any of the following offenses: driving uninsured, driving while suspended or revoked, operating a vehicle without driving privileges in violation of license restrictions, and the operator's license has been expired for more than 60 days, and 7, reckless driving. Okay, so those are reasons the vehicle can be towed without prior notice. And so I do find that this vehicle was towed after an accident. The appellant was uninsured. Appellant was cited. I feel like it said careless driving, not reckless. Let me go back and look to see. Careless driving, being uninsured, and also not being valid. At the very least, 1630.220L1 applies. Police officer has probable cause the Gabriella Raz was driving uninsured, and that is what authorizes the tow without prior notice. Therefore, I find the tow validly authorized. That means appellant remains responsible for towing and storage charges. I will write a written order. I will provide a written order that analyzes the facts with the law as I have laid out here today in this hearing. That will be sent to the parties the moment it is completed, probably sometime next week. And that also explains how to appeal if either party seeks to appeal my decision. That's it. Then I'm going to conclude the hearing, and we're going to go off the record.